B-Pod Studios.
Noah says it like they do.
What do you mean?
Well, what do you mean?
Felger and Maz.
I'm just making it up. Totally making it up.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
All right, final hour, agenda-free Friday. It's driven by the Bernardi Auto Group. We got Maz and Murray on location. Felger here in the A-hole chair in our Town Fair Tire Studios. A lot of you have been waiting patiently. We did a lot on the return of sports. More on Andy Dalton and the Patriots and the draft. Any of the stuff you want to get into with Gasper here, by all means, we'll take it on everything. I'll go right to the phones unless Maz and Murray have a opening thought for the 5 o'clock hour for the people of Boston.
Negative.
Niet.
Okay, Bob in Boylston waiting patiently on the return of sports. Go ahead, Bobby. Okay, I don't blame him. He's been on hold for 2 hours there, so he's not still there. The return of his comment line said the fans won't go back, which is a whole nother thing, and which is, I think, really telling as well, which is the fans, I talk about this with the economy, too. It's one thing to say open up the economy, open up the buildings, open up sports. People have to be confident enough to go back to sit in the restaurants next to somebody or sit in the stadiums and watch a game, and the people are not there yet. The polling shows the people are not there yet.
Well, and Mike, that part of it speaks to the leadership that you brought up earlier in the week. I mean, that's where somebody with a presence, I think, and with a command of the situation, or at least a perceived command of the situation, can help instill confidence in the consumer, right? And in the human being. And that's clearly not happening.
Jim and Everett waiting patiently. Go ahead, Jim.
Yeah, I got a question. NASCAR's going to open on the 17th. Do you think that major leagues should send observers down to see how they're going to quarantine the drivers and the teams and the officials?
So let me just stop you, Jim. Should they send spotters and people to see if they're maintaining the bubble?
How does it apply?
I'm not sure exactly what his point is. What they're trying to accomplish and what they're modeling is not feasible in my mind, which is, let me just start at the very base level. The NBA wanted to open up gyms today to have players come in and shoot, and they got pushback. And they put in all these regulations about allowing a couple guys to come into the gym to shoot. Four people max per building, per session, 12 feet of distance, everyone wearing masks until you start working out, limited locker room access, no saunas, no cold tubs, no Cairo chambers. The Lakers are going to have a dedicated ball boy rebounder for each guy in gloves, PPE, disinfected shoes, all of this. If that's what it's going to take just to get three or four guys in a building to shoot baskets, it's not sustainable. It's not sustainable. There's got to be there has to be more confidence on the part of the players or the teams or everybody that they can all get through it healthy, because there's no way that is – if that's what you have to go through for four people, what are you going to go through for 100 people in the building to do an actual game? It's not going to work.
No, that's right. Because that type of scenario is, it's paranoia. I mean, you can't function in an environment of paranoia. I thought he was saying, are the other sports going to watch it and then try to replicate what they were doing? And my answer is, you get any information you can. Yes, any and all information you can get to try to get back to work, you get it. No question about it.
100%. You should be watching the Korean Baseball League or the Chinese Baseball League, which have been up and running in empty buildings now for a couple of weeks. For crying out loud, Jimmy's Wrestling Federation. What are they doing? They're putting up two shows a week with dozens of guys rolling around sweating on each other in a ring. So what are they doing? How are they staying healthy? Are they staying healthy? Look at all of it. Absolutely, they should. Dakota in Braintree on Andy Dalton. Dakota, you want him?
Before I get to Dalton, I just want to say one thing about the Adam Silver NBA thing, okay? I hate this fake narrative. Mike and Tony and Jim, do you know anybody that needed to get a test for COVID that was denied to get the test? Other than the first week back in March when this thing broke and the hospitals weren't ready, okay? If you need to get tested and have the symptoms, the tests are available. So when Adam Silver says, well, I don't want to have the NBA guys tested because we're not ready as a country, it's absolutely BS, because I've posted this all over social media and everywhere, and I've asked, who do you know needed to get tested that was denied?
So why do you think he's saying that?
It's political. That's what it is. It's all political BS. There is nobody in this country that has the symptoms that cannot get tests. And they keep moving the goalposts. One day it's about tests. The next thing it's about antibodies. The next thing it's about hospitals, ventilators.
So hold on, Dakota, settle down. So you're saying that Adam Silver is sacrificing his league's business for politics?
No, he's saying it politically. It's a political statement that he says, you know what, I want to be able to do this, but I want to make sure that everybody in the country that needs to get tested can get tested. That's all it is. It's just words to make him look good because he doesn't want backlash and says, yep, my guys are all going to get tested and go back to work. So he's going to say that out there to throw it out in the public domain. So when he gets confirmation or whatever, you know what, it's time. He says, well, he's obviously being cautious. He said he wasn't going to go back to do this.
Okay,
being tested.
So I'll tell you what. If he's just paying lip service to it, I have no problem with it.
Okay, I don't have a problem with it either. My point is,
I mean, I'm actually worried, Dakota, that they're actually holding off because it's for real. That's my issue. Again, when I read on ESPN today that Silver has publicly and privately insisted he couldn't abide his league gobbling up tests if the general public and medical professionals are without mass access to tests. And then there was another line here that says several manufacturers can assure the NBA that they will get the tests they need, but they can't guarantee the American public will have its needs met. And that's why the NBA is holding off, because the American public won't have its needs met. That worried me that the NBA is actually going through with that. If you're saying it's just lip service to say the right thing, then fine. I mean, yes. What's wrong with saying the right thing?
There's nothing wrong with saying the right thing. My point is, it's okay for Adam to say that, but I'm just saying the point. Anybody that needs to get tested is not being tested. There are tests everywhere, okay? You can get tested. So that false narrative that's out there across the U.S. is a bunch of BS, and it's going to go away, but they need to just keep talking about it, because if there wasn't an election this year, we'd be all back to work May 15th, once everything slowed down, because as a country, we stopped because of fear. First, we were supposed to have 2 million deaths in this country.
Dakota.
We have to shut everything down. And then they said we're going to run out of ventilators.
Dakota, yeah. Your comment line said Andy Dalton. If your comment line said testing and ventilators, I wouldn't have taken you. So call us next week. Here's Tony and Lynn. Go ahead, Tony, on the same topic. Go ahead. Okay, that's not going to work. He says, why aren't sports considered an essential business? They shouldn't be considered an essential business. Don't like that terminology is bad form to say sports are essential business. The league should be getting back and running because it's their business. And any business, whether it's essential or not.
If you want to donate $18 million to Florida, you too can be named an essential business, much like the pro wrestling companies.
Very good, Jimmy.
Exactly.
Good work.
Exactly right. No,
yeah, good work.
You should all be trying to get back to work. We should all be trying everything we can for our business and our jobs and our industries, and that's what the NBA should be focused on, or sports should be focused on. They don't need to be called essential, but they're important to the people that work in those industries, so they should be trying to be back online. Period. Story over.
So can I just jump in? Because some of what Dakota said pissed me off, and I know we don't want to get on this road. Okay? I know we don't want to get on this road. So I don't want to get too, you know, I don't want to respond too much to it. But when he says that everybody who wants a test can get one right now, yes, if they're showing symptoms or if they meet the criteria. So, but the issue of people going back to work gets a little grayer. That's all. Like, so who should get them first? I mean, you tell me people that work in the meat plants, okay? Trump wants to keep open the meat plants. Should they get them first? I would say yes.
Yeah.
Okay, so again, I don't know. I understand what Dakota's ultimate point was. In order for people to go back to work en masse, while this thing is still potentially a problem, and it's going to be a problem for a long time, is going to require a lot of people to get tested regularly. And so that's the part he's missing. The people that are showing symptoms and that meet the criteria, they're getting their tests.
So you know what Dakota's issue is. You should get him Howie's number. Get it for me, Jimmy. You can text it to him. You can call Howie, rant and rave about ventilators.
Trump's the king of ventilators.
Along these lines, Bill in Framingham. Yes, Bill?
Hey, I just want to say that the kicker with the tattoo, you said he was from the most conservative part of New York. Well, maybe that's how they all believe. They don't like the government. They love the military. There's nothing wrong with that. And then you have a call and you have a Colin Kaepernick who goes out with the leading black radical activist in the country for a woman who's totally against white causes, has never contributed one penny to a white cause, but everybody wants Colin Kaepernick to get a chance to get
Here's
back
another one, Jimmy. What's that Howie number again for me, please? Would you get it for
Seriously.
Me? Seriously. Call Howie and rant and rave about that. But for the record, if you're yelling at me, I got no use for Colin Kaepernick either.
Some of these people need to go out for a walk.
Chris in the truck.
Jerry Callahan at
Go out for a walk, Dakota. Dakota, go for a walk. Take your dog. If you don't have a dog, buy one.
Chris in the truck on Tom Brady, I hope. Go ahead, Chris.
Yes, it's on Tom Brady. So I know Tom Brady's not the only person to blame as to why he's not with us anymore. I get that. I wanted to know if you guys have any thoughts or any issue with the fact that he ran Jimmy G out of town. Mainly because he said, oh, I'm going to be here until I retire, or I want to be here, play until I'm 45. And now he bounces 2 years early after running the supposed future out of town. Do we have any problem with that? Just want to hear your guys' thoughts.
Yeah, should we have an issue with that he encouraged Kraft to get rid of him, and then he only gave Kraft 2 more years? Should we have an issue with that?
Yeah, a little bit. Yeah, a little bit. I don't think it's wrong. And I know Murray is saying, of course you feel that way. But nonetheless, yeah. I mean, if you are going to ask the franchise to trade away the heir apparent, then sure, you should be a little bit more committed to them in the long term. Absolutely.
Nobody thinks about that, just you, Maz.
Well, so I would say there's a stronger case if he had more term on his contract. His contract was up. So it's not like he didn't technically bail on the team. It was just time's up, right? So,
well, he wanted out, though, Mike.
He did. I mean, I don't think there's any question about that. But, you know, I don't blame Brady on that. I blame the Patriots then for giving in just to make him happy to deal Garoppolo. You know, like, I mean, that's who you should. Just because Brady stomped his feet doesn't mean they had to give in to him. So that's who you should blame if you want to blame anyone.
It's still the most stunning part of the whole thing. He asked for the right to become a free agent, and they granted it, which means at the end of the day, they didn't want him either.
Justin and Attleboro on Michael Jordan. Hi, Justin.
Hey, Fogger, I kind of disagree with you. So Michael Jordan is a bad person for gambling. I mean, when it comes down to it, he's got a lot of money. He doesn't gamble billions. He gambles tens, thousands, whatever the case might be. I mean, honestly, look at the Tiger Phil thing. Even when they were doing their golf thing, they were gambling. Granted, it was going for charity. But in the same sense, I think all these athletes gamble when it comes down to it.
So Phil Mickelson's another one, Justin.
Bad example.
Phil's another one that I think has some issues. And I didn't say Michael Jordan's a bad person because he gambles. I didn't say that. I didn't even say Michael Jordan's a bad person. I think he's a little dirty. I feel like he's, I don't know. I feel if you are one of those, I don't care how much money you have. If you're a guy who can't get up from the freaking blackjack table, that's sad to me. That is sad, Murray. And I don't care if he goes, I don't care what home he goes home to or how much money he's got in the bank. If you're that guy, that ain't cool. I don't know. I don't think that's fun. Wee.
And I'm not. And if that person enjoys it, I'm not going to judge them for it. Even if but they make $20,000 a year and, you know, they're still able to do it. And maybe you think they're sitting there too long. I'm not going to judge someone if they actually enjoy doing that. A poker table, whatever it happens to be. Craps, whatever they're
doing. Oh, no. I mean, I enjoy gambling, too. But someone who can't stop, that's not cool.
Okay. But so, again, this is my question. Define can't stop. At what point is can't stop? Like, if it doesn't create him any financial stress, then what's the problem?
Do you think it hasn't in his life?
I don't know. I mean, I know Mickelson alleged. I've heard rumors about Mickelson being unable to pay debts and things of the like. I don't know that I've heard that Jordan has been unable to pay debts, although I don't know. I mean, I'd love to find out exactly what the whole story was with his father. I'll give you that one. Like, that one feels a little shady to me. And you know, I don't think we're going to get any major answers here in this documentary. That's for sure.
Well, but I mean, again, this is my personal opinion. I'm not, you know, we all have our own versions of right and wrong. I'm just saying how I feel. Even if you still have enough money in the bank, but you still lose and lose and lose and can't stop, that to me does not feel harmless or in any way something you want to emulate or celebrate or, like, that's not fun. And that doesn't feel like fun to me. No, we just did our long commercial-free segment. Did you enjoy it? More of your calls right after these words.
Something?
I don't know. Google it, Maz.
Listen to the podcast on the 98.5 The Sports Hub app.
That's idiotic.
Now back to Felger and Maz on Boston's home for sports.
Mike, I'm going to talk you into signing a quarterback one way or the other if it's the last thing I do. I've been trying to push Cam Newton on you. You have no interest in that. How about Andy Dalton in New England?
Well, Greeny, everyone I talk to around the Patriots, it really comes back to two words, Jarrett Stidham. They are really intrigued to see what he can do. So specific to Andy Dalton, I didn't get any sense from anyone around the Patriots that when he became available yesterday, that there was an aggressive push to sort of see where that would lead. If anything, it would be a conversation of due diligence and really asking the question, how would bringing in a player like Dalton supplement what they have in Stidham, not supplant him? And that's knowing they also have veteran Brian Hoyer in the room who they really feel comfortable with as well.
So I guess for those who have not been watching all week and have not heard you all week long, it really sounds like they've made a decision, a firm decision, because if Cam's available and they're not biting, and if Dalton's available, they're not biting, they've made the decision. Their starting quarterback this year is going to be Jarrett Stidham.
Well, Greeny, I will say this. They're not going to say that because, one, they don't want to put the pressure on him. It's only his second year. And, two, there is still a blind spot there for the Patriots. Until a quarterback actually goes out and does it, you do need to protect yourself. And so I think the way they look at it is every decision that they're going to make is to try to put Stidham in the best position to succeed, and they protect themselves with the veteran insurance policy behind him in Brian Hoyer.
I wouldn't sleep on Brian Hoyer.
So do they want Dalton or not, Mike? Mike Reese this morning on ESPN.
I wouldn't sleep on Brian Hoyer.
I know what he's saying. What he's saying there, Maz, is they might be interested in Dalton, but Stidham's still the guy. So Dalton only makes sense in the context of putting Stidham in the best position to succeed. Maybe that means Stidham sits on the bench for another year, but he's still the guy. Or another guy to compete with Stidham, and if Stidham beats him out, Stidham beats him out. But it's about setting up Stidham. They're not going to bring in Dalton to usurp Stidham or in any way slow that role. It's all about him. He still might fit, but just as another Brian Hoyer figure, I guess is what he's saying.
Okay, well, so I guess here's my point. And again, I go back to Gasper, and I resisted getting into this too much at 2 o'clock because I didn't want to steal Gasper's take. But if they are reluctant to bring in Andy Dalton because he's going to put pressure on Stidham, then Stidham's not ready. Stidham's not ready. Brian Hoyer is not pressure.
That's right.
Brian Hoyer is a career backup who lost his last 10 starts in the NFL and who really sucks. So I just think that Dalton is a superior player to Brian Hoyer. And so if they want to do what's best for Stidham and push his development a little bit and give him a challenge while not giving him someone that he can't beat out, Dalton's the right guy. Hoyer is not a challenge.
And Dalton is.
Yes, at least more of one.
But I think what Mike is saying is if Dalton can just be another Brian Hoyer where he's, you know, Stidham can beat him out and Dalton's okay sitting where he's sitting, they'll take him. If he's someone who's going to beat out Stidham or, you know, not be happy losing out, et cetera, he's not for them. He's just got to be another Hoyer type, I guess, is what he's driving. I'm not totally convinced of that, by the way. I'm not totally convinced of that. I think there's still a chance they always had it in their mind that Jarrett Stidham's their guy in year three of Stidham's, you know, career. Stidham won't be ready till his third year, and so we need a bridge for one more year. If Brady had taken their crappy one-year offer, he would have been the bridge. And if they can find that perfect bridge guy, then they'll take him. And Andy Dalton still might be that guy. I'm not giving up hope, Murray. I'm not giving up hope that Andy Dalton's going to be here eventually.
That's all I can hope for, that he doesn't, just for my own sanity and to spite you both.
I hate the Hoyer bridge. The idea of Hoyer is the bridge, I hate that.
I will take it just dragging out, even just to have the looming possibility of the Red Rifle, Murray. Just the looming specter of Andy Dalton is enough. No one jump to any decisions. Take all the time that you need. Even just the looming specter does it for me, Murray. Let's go back to some phones here. Marcus in Vermont. Go ahead, Marcus.
Hey, guys. First of all, Dalton costs money, so I would say that if you look at Andy Dalton, you should look at what player you could get for that same money. Secondly, if you look at the quarterback position as a game manager, like when Brady was in his first year instead of Brady now, Brady was in his second year, just like Stidham, he came in his game two.
Okay, Marcus, we got it all. So you think so now any sort of mediocre game manager can turn into Tom Brady? Like, that's sort of the, like, there's a million Jared Stidhams out there, okay? And there's a million guys who want to be managed who were considered middling prospects, and you can manage. That doesn't mean they're all Tom Brady. I mean, you know what I'm saying, Maz? Like, I think people get duped into that.
Yeah, again, people are going to make it too simple. Now, the other thing is, let's not overlook the fact that when Brady took over, they had some pretty good players on that defense. I mean, and when I say players, I mean, in retrospect, you look at them, we're talking Hall of Fame caliber players. Ty Law, Richard Seymour. I mean, there were guys on that defense that were elite, elite defensive players in the NFL. And I'm not sure the Patriots defense right now has that.
I asked you before about what contract for Andy Dalton would be too high. And you said, you know, something in the $3 to $5 million range. And I said less than three. I wonder, Maz, if they'd want Andy Dalton to make any more than Brian Hoyer. You know, like along these lines, if they want Andy Dalton just to be another form of Brian Hoyer, a little bit better version of Brian Hoyer, but essentially the same thing, just another guy to beef up the room, give them depth, and compete with Stidham and maybe even lose out to Stidham. Are they going to want to pay Dalton any more than Brian Hoyer? And they've already.
No, it's a good point. It's a good point.
Right? Because, I mean, they think about this, right? Like, they think about, we signed a guy and we pay him a certain amount. And then if we sign someone else and pay him more, we sort of undercut our relationship with the guy we just signed. They think about this heavily. They paid Brian Hoyer 1 year and $1 million.
Yeah, and the baseline's also been set by other guys that were former starters. Winston just got 1.1 in New Orleans, and that's nothing. And Blake Bortles got $1 million to be the Rams' backup last year. So that's what the money is. If Dalton thinks he's getting anything more, at least here, it ain't going to happen.
Maz, that's what I think the number is. I think it's $1 million.
Okay, it might be. But also, let's not forget that Hoyer's money is augmented by Indy, right? So he's actually making more than that. The Patriots had to pay him less because he's getting some from Indy. Dalton's not getting anything from Cincinnati.
Well, that's a good way to weasel it if they wanted to bring in Dalton and pay him a little bit more. What's Hoyer's total compensation this year? Maybe that's the number.
I think it's a couple of million, isn't it? Isn't Indy paying half of what he's getting something like that?
But either way, you know, and I don't have to argue with you on this, the money's a huge factor with Dalton. Huge.
Absolutely.
You know, the contract is going to tell you the role that they envision for Andy Dalton. Here's Murray's update. One more segment of your wonderful phone calls right after. It's the Felger.
I hate jokes.
We're not taking jokes.
That joke blew.
It's Felger and Maz, 98.5 The Sports Hub.
It's the Felger and Maz Big Board. Ben Brendanson from Michigan.
No!
Oh, that's horrible. Hit the magazine. Okay, Solomon Kinley from Georgia. Calvin Throckmorton.
Nick Harris, who is the number one center available in this draft. Nick Harris is, I don't think you're going to get him. But anyway, here's number two. Jake Hansen. Luke Jariga from Western Michigan.
Cesar Ruiz. Prince Tega Wanogo.
Wanogo.
Wanago.
Okay. I like Wanago better.
I want to go with him.
Alex Taylor.
More. Murray, I got tickets to a concert. You want to go?
Oh, that was horrible. Trey Adams from Washington. Prince Tega Wango. Can you get Wanago?
Yep. Raekwon Davis of Alabama. Another Raekwon. Raekwon Williams. Pick on the Raekwons, a defensive tackle. Robert Windsor.
His upright build is too easily compromised when it comes to dropping anchor. I mean, I dropped anchor right before the show, just in case it really freed me up. AJ Epinesa, Alton Robinson, Jonathan Garvin.
John Garvin, male prostitute.
It hit Patrick Queen, Kamal Martin, David Woodward, Utah State.
Akeem Davis Gaither.
He moves like a stray cat fighting animal control.
David Woodward, Utah State.
We picked him yesterday. This is the same stiff we picked yesterday.
Oh, then that is the board calling to us. Davion Taylor of Colorado.
A.J. Terrell for Clemson. Amik Robertson from Louisiana Tech. LaVert Hill of Michigan.
Ashton Davis.
A-S-H-T-Y-N, Ashton Davis.
DeMarcus Acy of Missouri.
J.R. Reed of Georgia.
Jonathan Taylor from Wisconsin.
Zach Moss, Utah. Anthony McFarland. Richie Worship. Nope, you know what? I'm going to change that. It's Bo Bishart from Colorado. It was close to that. Louis Zervos. Rodrigo Blankenship.
Yeah!
If there's a football god listening, please let someone hit the kid from Missouri.
Thaddeus Moss.
Oh!
Yeah.
You got him. Number 10. Albert Akwugbanum. Akwugbanum. Akwugbanum.
Akwugbanum.
Akwugbanum. Akwugbanum.
Okuwebunum.
Okuwebunum. Okuwebunum.
Okuwebunum.
Love it.
Akwugbanum. Colby Parkinson. Jalen Rigor from TCU. Okay. Jalen Rigor. Rigor. Ow! KJ Hill Jr. Gabriel Davis, Central Florida.
Tyler Huntley of Utah.
Jalen Hurts of Oklahoma.
Jake Fromm.
That hit Jake Fromm.
That board knows. Jake Fromm.
That's Jake Fromm. The board knows.
I mean, that is impressive. 0-42 on the Felger and Maz big board. It sucks and blows. 0-42. We hit every year. Sometimes we hit more than once. Oh, we're the best big board ever. 0-42.
Relive that one more time. Gender Free Friday, everything from the week. So we started the week. Tough year for the big board. We'll be back next year. Wrap it up with your phone calls here. Wayne at work on the NBA. Go ahead, Wayne.
Hi, Mike. Good afternoon. How are you?
Good.
Yeah, Mike, I guess you had a comment earlier about the NBA, how they weren't responsible for, people that don't have health coverage. Now, they could bring the NBA and have 20 games, Mike, and do all their testing and say there's zero positive after all the tests. But there's some poverty cities out there that people don't have medical coverage. And I was just saying, these people, if they're not tested, Mike, the numbers could keep rising instead of going down. If the numbers keep rising, Mike, obviously they're not going to let the people in the sporting arenas.
Well, I think it, Wayne, it depends what the hospitals look like in that area, or that's what I would be concerned with. What are the hospital bed situation? What's what's the medical situation? To me, that's the biggest factor. Right there. There was just one line in that story that I read that, I don't have it in front of me anymore, but where it said the NBA could get the tests that it needs. They know they can get the tests that they need, but they're leery or they're reluctant to accept them and go forward if there's not enough tests for the American public at large. And that to me feels like too high of a standard, that the NBA is not going to come back until the entire American public is taken care of on the testing. Like, if they want to hold off until all the medical professionals have their tests, that's fine. All the frontline responders, fine. You want to extend it, Maz, to something you mentioned earlier? Like, if Trump is going to say all the meatpacking, facilities have to stay open, then they get their tests too. Fine. But if they're going to say, we can't go forward and accept these tests until the American public is taken care of, then, you're not going to have basketball for 2 years.
Well, right. Then they're never going to play. Right. No, they'll never play because we'll never have all those tests.
Exactly.
I mean, there are 325 million people in this country. If you have to have 325 million tests a day and I'm giving you the most extreme case, but no, there's no shot at that. So listen, again, I tell you, I understand your point. I'm just telling you that, and there is a political element to what Adam Silver says. I just think that area gets very gray because then we got to start deciding which businesses are more important than others. And I would categorize those based on, the treatment of people, the inequity in terms of the wealth in this country. We all know that one. It's a fair point. That's existed for a long time. The rich have had access to care that the poor have not had forever in this country. That part isn't going to change. But I think it gets very gray if as long as there are a limited number of tests. Mike, what I'm surprised is that they haven't solved that problem more yet. So someone like Dakota can tell me all he wants, there's plenty of tests. I disagree. I'm not telling you there's a shortage, but you still have to meet certain criteria to be tested, and I thought we'd be further beyond that than we are right now.
Yeah, I just don't want Adam Silver waiting for our entire medical infrastructure to get up to speed because it's not going to. Well, our healthcare system in this country is poor, You know, it's given how wealthy this country is, the medical care system is, it's sad, I think. But I mean, Adam Silver's not going to solve that. He's not going to solve that problem. So he should also take care of his business. Richie and Quincy. Go ahead, Richie. Richie! His comment line says he loved the Patriots draft. What's to love about the Patriots draft? I've did so much bashing of it. Let me just try and think what I could love. Here's what I might love, and you can tell me. Did they get faster on defense? Did the kid from the Division II school, he has good speed, good range, those two outside linebackers, can they run? Did they just get faster on defense?
Yeah.
Yeah, they did. I mean, just based on what their measurables are, they did. And they certainly got fast with that Uche linebacker. Those were things that they needed to address, and they did. On offense, though, not at wide receiver. But if you want to love something, I think you can be optimistic about what they did in terms of speed on defense.
I mean, I'll tell you, the other thing that I think you can love about their offense, and obviously it depends on what your preferences are, but again, we talked about this earlier in the week, that they really spent all of their picks pretty much, you know, with the exception of Duggar, on the defensive front seven and fortifying the offense, you know, between the hashes in terms of muscle. So now there are tight ends in there, but I sort of include them, call it, you know, for lack of a better term, the front seven on offense. Like, I think that they want to get better on the line of scrimmage. They drafted O-line and defensive front seven with a couple of exceptions. And if that's what Bill's idea is, you know, we're going to go old school. The rest of the league is becoming more wide open, chucking the ball all over the place. It's more about speed. We're going to become a little bit more about power, and we're going to give people everything they can handle.
We've got Tim in Nashua on the draft. Hi, Tim.
Mike, I'm a no on Dalton, right? But the draft didn't support Stidham. Does that mean they're definitely going to bring in Dalton? What's your opinion?
Okay, so I don't think that the draft is related to Dalton or the supporting Stidham. Did the draft support Stidham? It didn't. It didn't. But is there an ulterior motive? In other words, Bill actually thinks the offense is already fine. That the receiving core, the people around Stidham, are already fine. The problem last year wasn't the cast around Brady, it was Brady and his approach. Is that possible that that's how Bill feels? And if he does feel that way, he might be right. But, whoa, that's like, to me, that's kind of a leap to say that, you know, I mean, quote-unquote, Brady was the problem. But is it possible he feels that way?
So look, it didn't support Stidham in terms of skill players. But go back to Brady. Now, and again, this is always a tough, this is always a stupid thing to do, but I'm going to do it anyway.
Love it.
Okay, Brady wasn't the player he was at the beginning. They were a defense and line of scrimmage team. That's what they were. So is that supporting Brady at that point of his career? I would say yes, because Brady wasn't necessarily the kind of guy that was going to whip the ball all over the field. And so they made the demands on him simpler. They had to score less. He just had to be mistake-free, and they had to be able to pick up first downs and play well on special teams. That took the pressure off. So in that way, they helped Brady. I suspect they're going to do something different, similar rather, now.
I think that's a good point. Just because you don't give the guy receivers doesn't mean you're not supporting the player. I mean, what if they build a team where Jared Stidham only has to score 24 points? He doesn't have to score in the 30s. They only have to score 17, 21, 24 points, and they can win games that way. Isn't that taking pressure off of Jared Stidham?
Absolutely. I think so. So again, when they built the team around Brady, the whole idea was we're going to win, at least for a good chunk of the time. We're going to win games with our offense. We're going to build around the quarterback. People aren't going to be able to keep up. Now they're going to have to do it differently. Now, what would concern me at the moment is that they drafted these guys on defense. They drafted some linebackers. They drafted a safety. Certainly, again, they focused on the front seven. But are these guys ready to make an impact now? Is this defense worse than it was a year ago? And I thought they were overrated a year ago, and they're going to play a tough schedule on top of it. So we'll have to see how it shakes out. But I think the model is, let's not put too much on the quarterback too early. We're going to have to go out and win 31-28 because we're not capable of that.
I would also say that this offseason is not a great litmus test of how they're quote-unquote trying to build the team. They're kind of limited this year. With the money being what it is, transitional year with Brady out maybe a year early than they thought. They don't have a lot of cap space, if you believe in that. So it's like, I think next year will really tell us, how does he want to build the team? What does he want the team to look like? How does he want them to win? This year, it's a little, I think they're sort of just, you know, doing what they can this year, more of a transition year.
Transition year, right.
Joe in Walpole. Go ahead, Joe. What do you got?
Yeah, how you doing, Rob? Brady gets what he wants, gets rid of Jimmy G, instantly lays down on that team. Gronk's with them. He's a TB12 guy. They do their thing. Now they're going down to Tampa Bay. What's Bruce Allen's going to do? And say, look what I did. Does he realize this? And then, you know, when you were 12 years old, you were in Little League and you went out for ice cream every day. Then all of a sudden the next year, you're in high school and you're getting yelled at, called an idiot every day, like, you know, can't do nothing right. That stopped when you're in Little League, the ice cream and nicey-nice stuff. That's over.
Okay, Joe, you have any idea what the hell he was talking about?
Yeah, no pretty, clue.
Like, anything for me there?
It's a fitting call to wrap up.
Murray, you made it through the week, though. It's Miller time, buddy.
Yes, I'm sure that will solve all of my issues. Yeah.
Well, I keep saying that. You actually come in and work tomorrow.
Yes. Yeah. 10 to whatever the hell it is with Gasper. 10 to 1. Yeah, 10 to 1.
Murray, would it help if next Monday we come back in studio and both of us are in studio starting next Monday? Would that help?
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe. I don't know. Who knows?
Well, I think we're headed to all three of us being back before long if the state, you know, opens up again on the 18th. So, but you remember you were talking about Jordan being a degenerate because he gambles too much?
Yes.
I'm starting to wonder, the deeper we get into this thing, like the fact that I'm transitioning from beer into hard stuff. should I be waving any red flags?
Yeah. We'll pick that all up next week. Coming up next is The Final Word and Fresh, Squeaky Maz and Angry Mike.
Felger's expert analysis.
Not from this talk radio crazy.
Maz's hard-hitting questions.
What am I, like the freaking abrasive police here?
The caller's bringing knowledge to the table.
Maz, the adults are talking.
It's time to recap this four-hour show in 4 minutes. It's The Final Word on Felger and Maz on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
And The Final Word is brought to you by Town Fair Tire for the guaranteed lowest prices on tires. Go to Town Fair Tire because nobody beats Town Fair Tire.
Nobody.
All right. A new Mad Mike and new Squeaky Maz to wrap up the week here on The Final Word. You have a preference on what you want to start with?
I mean, I don't care.
No, of course not.
All right. All right. Well, here is Maz hating highlights.
Robert in Oakham, you're up next. Hi, Robert.
Have either one of you watched Jared Stidham's highlights on YouTube?
The highlight packages to me are useless.
There's about 20 minutes worth of highlights on YouTube.
The only thing a highlight package tells me is whether a guy sucks.
I've watched him twice, and he's got fast legs. He's got a quick release. He throws a good ball. Maybe, you know, he looks good.
I looked him up online. His highlight reel sucks. I think he blows. Zero chance of him being anything.
If you watch his highlights, he looks good.
I think he smells.
It's tremendous. Sums it up perfectly.
Totally.
And when we have a Mad Mike, it comes to Mike not liking the thought of the Patriots tanking next year, matter who the quarterback is.
Joe in New York, what do you got for us today?
I realize that you spent a good amount of time bashing takes that Trevor Lawrence might end up on the Patriots yesterday, but my take is basically that the Patriots might end up with a pretty bad record.
Joe.
A legit. Yeah?
How bad do you think the record will be?
I think it could be as bad as 4-12.
4-12.
I think
Jake Bell is going to let Brady go and just suck. And prove everybody right who thought it was all Brady and not him.
I think
that he's going to allow himself to go 4-12 and let all of you go, oh, I guess it was the quarterback, huh, Bill? You think that's why he did this?
Yeah.
Most of you believe he's got a massive ego and is trying to prove a point. How does he prove a point by going 4-12 and then drafting a quarterback number one overall so that he just proves everyone, yeah, it is all about the quarterback? That's the exact opposite of what he's in this for. Never mind winning games to catch Shula. Why? I feel like screaming at you. Get this through your head. They don't want to tank. It's not going to happen.
Please hear me out.
We talk about the draft and the team. The first call is about sucking next year to tank to get Trevor Lawrence.
Yeah?
They're not going to do it.
I think.
Good Lord.
Sorry, Joe. Call back. Call anytime.
Poor guy.
Yeah, poor guy. All right, here comes Jones and Arcan to wrap up the week in fine fashion. What do we boys got tonight, Jones?
Yay! Well, we're gonna talk about the latest when it comes to testing in professional sports and how significant of a hurdle that is to getting sports back. And I got to be honest, I started the week by saying, oh well, it seems like things are heading in the right direction, and it seems like sports are maybe just around the corner for their return. It's time to start feeling good about things. And already by Friday, I'm ready to throw all that out the window. So we'll get to that as well.
I sort of feel that way, too. Arcan, good luck, as always. Maz, Murray, have a good weekend, fellas. A good, safe weekend. And we'll see you Monday at 2 o'clock, all right?
You too, Mike. Stay safe, everyone.
Okay, thanks to Stu. T-Bone filling in the last couple days. We appreciate the efforts. Once again, Jones and Arcan are coming your way right after Murray's 90-second update. There will be no commercial interruption, just the very latest in the world of sports. And that's that. Again, Murray and Gasper tomorrow. Is it 10 a.m., Murray? Is that the time?
Yep, 10 a.m.
10 a.m. to 1 tomorrow on 98.5 The Sports. Everyone have a great weekend, and we'll see you Monday.
Later.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.